Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with his gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself, and to show your ready mind, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, because of the great confidence which we have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore show to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf.
You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you have created. You took all my gifts. in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever, I will love you. You are the only one who died for me.
Lesson 157, Riches of the Poor. In our last lesson, we saw how Paul was rejoicing at the news he heard from Titus about the Corinthians who had repented and handled church discipline properly before the Lord. As we study 2 Corinthians, we are finding many paradoxes, such as unity that is found through separation and comfort found in tribulation. Today we have another paradox, the riches of the poor. Paul will show us how poor Christians can be rich through their generosity. Paul will appeal to the Corinthians to gather together a financial gift that they had promised to prepare a year earlier. This gift was intended to help the poor Christians in Judea. Paul's appeal begins with the example of other believers who had given very generously to this cause and explains why the Corinthians should carry out their giving as they had planned. Finally, he will commend certain brothers who were to handle the gift to ensure its safe transport to the Christians in Judea. The Macedonians are mentioned as those who gave very generously. These Christians were from Thessalonica, Philippi, and Berea. These churches had heard the need of the Jewish brethren and took great pains to give as much as they could. In fact, Paul says they gave beyond their means. They must have made great personal sacrifices, which won the admiration of Paul as he witnessed their great love for others in need. Paul tells us that these Macedonian believers gave themselves to the Lord and to Paul, from whom they had heard the gospel. This dedication of themselves to the Lord meant that they did not grasp onto their money and possessions as though they would be impoverished by giving it away. They understood the principle that to give to the Lord is never a losing proposition, for the Lord delights when God's children reflect His own generous heart. This is why Paul can say, out of their poverty, they abounded with the riches of their liberality. They were rich through giving their money to others in need. It is very important that all Christians learn the truth of this spiritual principle. Our wealth is not determined by the money we have in an earthly bank, but by the spiritual good we have been able to accomplish with the resources the Lord puts into our care. Paul goes on to make his appeal to the Corinthians to fulfill the promise they had made a year earlier, when they had assured Paul that they would contribute generously to the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. Paul recognizes how important it is for the Corinthians to carry through with their promise, so that they might abound in this Christian grace. He took notice of their spiritual growth in the areas of faith and speech and knowledge and diligence and love, and so he also wants the Corinthians to excel in the area of giving also. He says this was not by commandment, for each must give to the Lord from their heart. What Paul is doing is teaching and shepherding his spiritual children. He is showing them the excellent Christian character of giving to the needs of others. We must be careful when reading this passage to not make it a justification for preachers pleading for financial support. Please notice that Paul's pleading with his Christian friends was not for his own financial gain, but for others. Notice also that Paul was only asking these brothers and sisters to give according to a promise they had already made. He was also careful to tell them that this giving was not by commandment, but was a testing of the sincerity of their Christian love. Paul uses the example of our Lord Jesus Christ to invoke a proper attitude in giving. He reminds them that Christ was rich but became poor so that we could become rich through His poverty. This great principle shows us what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to give and sacrifice for the sake of others will prove that the gospel has reached and saved our souls. This powerful witness to the reality of a person's faith is in stark contrast to those of the world who find it most difficult to give sacrificially to others. Paul adds that a willingness to give is accepted by the Lord according to what a person is able to give and not what they do not have to give. If I want to help someone, but I can only afford to give to them a small gift, then God will accept the gift based on what I'm able to give and reward me accordingly. Some who could offer much more than they do are reluctant to give more because they lack faith. The amount given is not as important as the willingness of the heart to give, and rewards will reflect this. The one who gives a smaller amount but has a greater willingness to help will prove their greater generosity and thus receive greater spiritual reward. Another principle we learn from this chapter is the principle of equality. The Christians who have more are encouraged and expected to share with those who have less, so that there is equality. Paul taught this principle to the Corinthians, many of whom were rich and could afford to give more for the sake of the poor. Paul is not suggesting that the rich support the poor, but that those who are blessed with abundance should recognize their responsibility to help those who are less fortunate. Paul also takes this principle from the example of the Israelites gathering manna in the wilderness, where no matter how much was collected, no one lacked or had too much. Paul now speaks of the men who were to handle the gift from the Corinthians. He commends them as godly and trustworthy servants of the Lord. The money collected would be entrusted to these men, since they could be counted on to ensure the money was used as intended to help the needy. Paul wanted to be transparent in how he and his fellow workers handled financial matters, showing themselves honorable before God and men. As these men prepare to visit Corinth and collect the gift, Paul calls upon the Corinthians to prove their love in the sight of all the churches. Paul longs for others to see the proof of his boasting in the believers at Corinth. He wanted others to see that they were sincere and godly believers who were willing to sacrifice for the welfare of others. I wonder how many brothers and sisters would feel glad to boast in your Christian life an example. Do others see the grace of God at work in your life, such that they speak well of you to others? The work of grace must start with our accepting the free gift of God when we place our trust in Jesus Christ to save our souls. When we receive this grace, then the Holy Spirit empowers us to show this grace in our lives by also willingly suffering and sacrificing for the benefit of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we heard Paul appeal to his Christian brothers and sisters to give generously according to their promise for the needs of fellow Christians. Giving is an important Christian grace that demonstrates how the grace of God has come into our lives and changed our hearts and behavior. Someone might ask the question, should Christian leaders make appeals for financial support? In the chapter we studied today, we heard Paul appealing to the Corinthians to give generously to help some poor brothers and sisters. Although they had promised a year earlier to contribute to this cause, they still had not delivered a gift, and so Paul desires that they fulfill their promise. When we read this passage, it is clear that Paul is concerned for the spiritual condition of the Corinthians far more than he is concerned with their money and giving. He listed how they excelled in several areas of their spiritual life, and in the area of giving they should also excel. Therefore, we must understand that Paul's appeal to them to give was for their spiritual good and not due to necessity or by coercion. It is also important to recognize that Paul was not only thinking of the spiritual welfare of the Corinthians, he was also interested in the love and care of his fellow believers in Judea who were in financial need. Paul's motives to appeal for Christians to give was entirely for the benefit of others and not himself. The Bible certainly teaches that Christians should give, not because they have to obey some law of tithing, but because it reflects the grace of God. It allows us to be God's hands of love and kindness to others, and reveals the goodness of God through His children. A good Bible teacher will not omit this precept when teaching God's Word, but that is much different from asking others to give to His ministry. Appeals for supporting a ministry are not found in the New Testament and are a disgrace to the church. To appeal to man to support God's work makes it seem as though God is poor and cannot manage to support His own work. God is well able to supply the needs of those who work for Him and to finance any ministry that He directs. The problem is we have a whole bunch of people who claim to work for God and then appeal to men to support them. People are easily swayed into believing that anyone who carries a Bible and a microphone must be God's man, and therefore is worthy of our support. But be very careful when giving to every street corner preacher who appeals to you for money. Perhaps they are just peddling the Word of God because they know people will be inclined to give them a bit of money. Ask yourself if those who beg for money are really interested in the spiritual welfare of others, or are they interested in building a name or a ministry or some wealth for themselves? These goals are contradictory to the gospel message, which is offered free of charge. Today, churches everywhere have adopted the practice of begging people to support their ministry. Some churches and organizations make huge sums of money through their advanced marketing techniques on radio and TV. While Christians should give to reflect the grace of God in their lives, and Bible teachers should teach the principles of Christian giving, making appeals to support God's work is scandalous and reveals a lack of faith. Certainly, Christian leaders can trust in the living God to supply their needs according to the will of God. If God is in the work, then God will make sure the needs are met. But let us also remember that sometimes God will also test our faith and stretch us by having us go without or wait patiently for His answer and supply. Just because we want something or think something is good does not mean God is obligated to support it or to respond immediately to our request. If someone says in their heart, "I will build an orphanage to help needy children, and I need so much money to do so, I will go and make appeals to everyone to support this good cause," what kind of response should they expect? Well, perhaps people will agree and give generously until the project can be completed. But perhaps God will not answer immediately and give time for thinking carefully not just about building an orphanage, but how to manage, operate, and continue to finance it. Sometimes we have big ideas and they may be good ideas, but God has much to teach us about patience, good planning, and putting His will before our own. It is essential when planning any work for God that we first ask God about His plan and then wait patiently for His answer. Appealing to men might produce money, and often does, but in the end it is the work of man and not the work of God. If we are to do God's work, then we must do His work in His way, and He will gladly supply all that is needed. Appealing to others for money is disgraceful to the Lord and His church, not only because it tarnishes the character of God, but it also removes the power from our gospel preaching. People who hear the preachers pleading for money are left wondering if money is what is motivating their hearts, or is it the love of God? I am rather suspicious of any who constantly appeal to others to support them and their ministry. Trust God and see what He will do, and if He does not answer your request, consider it carefully. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.bibleassemblychurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus saw me with a stranger, wandering from the full of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. Unto grace I'll bring a debtor, daily
if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believers Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand.